Have your Bibles, if you would, the book of Matthew, chapter 6 tonight. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. Now, while you're turning, I'd like to say that the Bible teaches that God has all power and is able to do all things. We know that. But there's a lot of times human flesh gets in the way. And, well, I say a lot of times, most of the time, human flesh gets in the way. But I hope you understand something tonight, that us as Christians, we know that God is able to do all things. There's only one thing that God cannot do, and that's save an unwilling soul. That's the only thing that God can't do. And we got in our minds, and we know what the Bible says, that God is a God of all power. And we catch ourselves a lot of time without His power. And I'll tell you why, and this won't cost you a dime. It ain't got nothing to do with my message, but a lot of times we limit God on what He can do. We put Him in a box and say, all right, God, if you go that far, that's far enough. Lord, if you go to the left just a little bit to help somebody over here, that's far enough. And we get to the point in our life that we limit God in His power. And a lot of times where we limit God, I'm going to give you some examples. Where we limit God is, first of all, we don't pray like we should. You know, prayer and the Word of God is the only communication we have with Him. And when we don't pray, we limit God. But here's the thing, and I'm speaking of my life again, that when we pray, it's our duty and it's our job to believe what you ask for and believe He can do that. That's praying in faith. But a lot of times when we pray and say, Lord, I need your help, then we go out here in left field somewhere and we try to do it ourselves. Well, what happens is we have limited God on hearing our prayer, but where the limit is of Him answering our prayer. I've said this before and I'll say it until the day I die. I believe there's a room in heaven with prayers answered there, just waiting on God to give His answer, but we limit Him so much that the answers are still up there. And a lot of times the devil will come in and try to block Jesus from getting back to you. If you remember Daniel, when he was praying, the angel came to him and said, Daniel, you prayed for 10 days. But Satan tried to block the answer. So I'm here to deliver personally the answer to your prayer. And so many times we forget about all of those things and we limit God. I'm here to tell you tonight, God is a God of all power. That's going to hit you in a minute. That's going to grab a hold of you in a minute for you to realize that God is. God was and God will be, with or without us. So why do we limit God tonight? It's because our own self gets in the way. That's the only thing that blocks us. Our self gets in the way. I'm preaching tonight from experience to say that God has blessed this church tremendously. Some of you ain't got a hold of that yet. God has blessed this church tremendously. He has saved souls. Listen to me. This thought they had been saved for years, and God's still saving souls. But when we come not prayed up, that's why we can't have services like we want to have. Because we have limited God. You say, how do you limit God, preacher? Leave Him on the outside and we're on the inside. You bring God in with you tonight. I might as well go ahead and preach on limiting God. But so many times, we get down and out and it's our own fault. Because we've limited God on His touch. I want us to listen tonight at the message that the Lord's laid on my heart. I titled it, Some Things That Jesus Will Not Do Until We Do. I want you to grab a hold of that. Some things that Jesus will not do until we do. Now, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. The Bible says, and let me say this before we read that scripture. Can I tell you, it, Lord just laid it on my heart. Far as limiting God, if you have got an ought against your brother or sister in Christ or an ought against anybody, that's going to limit God in your life. Now that verse says this, for if, boy, that's a big word, isn't it? If is a great big word. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15. But, remember what I told you that word means? It goes from good to bad or bad to good. But, if you forgive not, watch, men of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. And you see, when we can't forgive somebody for what they're doing, I want to break something down for you. I've done a little research on that word forgive. Now, if you've got something to write with, you need to write this down. Because the Bible says Jesus won't forgive unless we forgive, right? That's what we just read. Now, that word forgive, there's four or five different definitions for that one word. Number one. The first definition of forgive is to give up resentment. My goodness. To give up resentment. And a lot of times when somebody does us wrong or, you know, it's easy to resent them for that, isn't it? It's easy to point a finger and say it's your fault, right? It's easy to do that. But there's no way you can say I forgave them and still have resentment. If you've got resentment in your heart, you have not truly forgiven that person. And it's time for us at Mount Carmel Baptist Church. I'm not saying we've got quarrels nowhere, but it don't have to be in the church. It could be in the home, on the job, or wherever. It's time for Mount Carmel to learn to not have resentment toward anybody or anything for what they've done. It's up to us to forgive and to forget those things that have been hurting us. Resentment. Number two, the second definition of forgive is to lose the desire to punish. To lose the desire to punish. And you know, when somebody does you wrong, you want to get back at them. That's the first thing that comes to human nature's mind, isn't it? I'm going to get them. That's the first thing we do, isn't it? Human nature says, yes, I'm going to go get them. But the godly nature says, forgive it and have no resentment and forget about the punishment. Then you can truly have forgiveness. And it's time for us at Mount Carmel Baptist Church to truly have forgiveness. That way when we talk to God, He can forgive us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't think I've told you this since I've been here. It's our duty to ask for forgiveness, is it not? the way I was taught to pray, and I listen, all, you know, old folks in the church, you know, back in the day, and they, I understood one thing about prayer. How many know sin will block you from reaching God? You agree with that? Well, we go into our prayer, and Brother Zeke, I want to say thank you for your prayer tonight. And I'll tell you why. First thing he asked for was forgiveness. If we don't ask for forgiveness in our prayer, God ain't going to hear none of our prayer. Because sin is blocking that prayer. So the first thing when you pray, Lord, I know I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would you forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness? And the Bible says if we ask for forgiveness, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Is that not right? We've got to move sin out of the way before we can reach the throne of God with our prayer. And you wonder why our prayer hadn't been answered. I'll tell you why. It's because sin has blocked our prayer because you hadn't asked for that forgiveness. You go to praying and praying and praying about something. And then at the end of your prayer, Lord, I apologize. Lord, I'm a sinner. What about the front of the prayer? All that sin that was built up. The Bible says we must forgive. So number one, to give up resentment. Or desire to punish. Number three, the third definition of forgiveness, simply said, stop being angry. That's simple, isn't it? Hold a grudge for years. I've heard Hatfields and McCoys. Y'all ever heard them? For years, they was feuding, wasn't they? Until the young boy married the young girl. Y'all remember the story. But when it got to the marriage, the end of it said, what was we feuding about? All the years we've been fighting, we didn't even know what we was fighting and feuding about. Ain't that something? And you know what? That's true today. Just because he said, she said, gets things in an uproar, and we start feuding because something we heard and not got to the source. How true is that? So many times, folks, we need forgiveness in our churches, in our homes, in our lives. The last definition was simply to cancel. To cancel. That's pretty simple. To forgive is to cancel all hard feelings. To forgive is to cancel all resentment. To forgive is to cancel all desire to punish whoever you was mad at. My. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. The Bible says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How many know we commit more sins in our mind than we do in our outward body? How many know you got to get forgiveness for that? Y'all hear me pray, Lord, clear our mind and our conscience of all the worldly things and set our mind on heavenly things. That's the reason we can't have church anymore, is because our minds are somewhere else other than worshiping God when we get to the house of God. And B, notice the very two letters in that next word. Re. Y'all see that? Re what? Nude. That means to do again. Re means to do again. And it's time for Mount Carmel to be new again. Be fresh. Be unblameable. Be proud of who you are. Be proud that God has saved your soul. Be proud you're going to heaven. How many's glad you're going to heaven tonight? Aren't you glad of that? You know what? Once we get a renewed mind and get our minds clear of all the worldly things and set our mind on heavenly things and forget those things outside the doors of the church, and when we walk into the house of God, we can have church when you walk in. Forgiveness. Number two. First of all, God will not forgive us until we forgive forgive others. Number two. Jesus will not confess you before His Father until we confess Him before men. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and verse 33. Look what the Bible says. Y'all see, I ain't making this up. Wherefore, therefore, shall confess me before men, Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Amen? Look at the next verse. But, there it is again, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Y'all have heard them verses since you was a little rugrat in Sunday school class. Everybody's heard those two verses, but how many of us truly live those verses and we're proud to know that we are saved and on our way to heaven and not ashamed to tell the world that I'm going to heaven one of these days? You don't have to be a preacher to tell the world you're going to heaven. All you have to do is tell the world that you're saved and glad of it. Amen? There's some people today that will say they don't believe in heaven, and I've run across them. There's people, there's organizations. You remember what I said a few weeks ago? That an organism, when it loses the oxygen, becomes an organization. Y'all remember me saying that? And I want you to understand one thing. I don't want Mount Carmel to ever be and be pointed at as organization. I want us to be an organism, because that's something that is living and breathing and alive forevermore. I want us to understand that right there. But we've got to tell the world Jesus still saves. Amen. There's folks out there that says there ain't no heaven. All over the place. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. They believe in purgatory or outer realms. That's all they believe. They go, when you die, you'll go out here floating around. They believe that. There's churches that believe that. There's religions that believe that. But can I say something to you? If I'm wrong, I'd rather be me wrong than them wrong. Huh? I know what the Bible says. I believe it. Because the Bible says that Jesus told us as a church that where He is, there I will be also. And the book of Titus, chapter 2, says God cannot lie. He will not lie to us. And so many times we get into this place where we get, I guess, hush-tush about Jesus Christ. Give you three things about that confession I was talking about. This confession, number one, is of a person. Who is that person? Me. Everybody say me.
Me.
Say it one more time.
Me.
That's telling me that you need to confess Him before the world. Is that not right? That's the person. The second one is the public. The Bible says before men. Is that not right? So you see, you got the person, you've got the public, and then listen to this. If you get the person right, you tell the public, then you're going to have a promise. You say, what is that, preacher? What's the promise? Jesus promised, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Is that not what He promised? He promised that I will, I shall, and I will is a promise. Number three. Not only do we have to do those others, but number three, listen, Jesus will not give until we give unto Him. Did you hear me? And I'm not always talking about money. You know, there's churches, I know this is going to be live on YouTube, I don't care. I'm going to preach the truth. I'm going to preach it whether they like it or not. They can hit the off button, amen? There was a preacher today I saw on TV, Channel 9. Channel 3, 36, 18, all of them had him on there. I'm not going to mention his name, but his house is on 15 acres. His house is 15 acres big. That's a house. What I saw, you could set Brother Billy Graham's house in it four times. Four times. Inside that house. Can I say something to you tonight? If a man is standing behind a sacred desk, his motives are wrong if he's preaching for money. They're completely wrong. If you don't believe God's going to take care of you, get out of the pulpit. Amen. There's so many people go to the extreme, he's worth millions. This preacher now. It don't take millions to live, but there's millions of hungry folks needing food. Amen. There's millions of students at schools needing meal money so they can eat lunch. For books, for pencils, for pens. I mean, y'all could go on and on and on. There's millions that need that instead of banking millions. Where's his heart at? I'll tell you where it's not. It's not in the right place, amen? But God will not give until we give unto Him. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It simply says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." First of all, God's not always talking about money when He's talking about that verse. I thought about some things that God was probably talking about. Number one, respect. Respect. You know, people don't respect the house of God no more like they used to. They don't respect the house of God. They don't respect the man of God like they used to. I remember hearing old preachers talking, Brother Vernon McGee, Vernon Helms, and preacher Lauder, and there's so many of them. I can remember them saying, them walking up on their jobs or whatever, and somebody tell a dirty joke, see the preacher coming, and stop it. Nowadays they get louder. They've lost their respect. The house of God. People use, I'm not talking about Mount Carmel, but I'm talking about in general. People use the house of God as a playhouse. And the house of God is not a playhouse, it's a house of worship. Amen. And that's what we're supposed to do when we come in here. And that's to worship God in spirit and in truth. And And I thought many times I felt so guilty. You remember when Moses was getting the Ten Commandments up on the mountain and God told him to do one thing. take his shoes off, right? Why? You're standing on holy ground. If Moses took his shoes off on a rock, on a high mountain, and we walk in here with dirty shoes, wonder what God thought. You ever thought of it that way? That's just respect, is it not? Now, I'm not telling you to take your stinking shoes off. I'm just saying that's crossed my mind, amen? Especially those of you who don't take but a Saturday bath. Wednesday night would be rough, amen? But we're standing on holy ground tonight. I know that men put this church together, but God had his hand in it, and God will have his hand on it until the day he calls us home. That makes it holy ground. Church house is holy. Anywhere on the property is holy to me. The outside of the church and the inside of the church should be kept as beautiful or more beautiful than you keep your own home. That's the way the house of God was meant to be. And I think not only if you give respect to God, you'll get respect. Amen? Number two, I believe Jesus will not give unto us until we give unto him. If you give love, you're going to get love. There is so many haters in the world we're living in right now. I don't understand how people can lay their head on their pillow at night in as much hate as they have in their heart. I'm serious. You know, y'all watch the election. We sat there and watched it on the TV. How many watched the election, the numbers come in? Did y'all see all that? There at one point, Trump was millions of votes behind. Hundreds of thousands, I'll say. At the flip of a hat, the states started coming in and the media hushed. Y'all, did y'all catch all that? Now I'm going to get to my point. Now all of a sudden, what happened is God's hand come down on those states. God put the man in the White House he wanted in the White House. It was to prove that man has no authority over God. Yeah, we vote, right? But who has the final say so? God. And all of a sudden, God put this man there. You know, I mean, I voted, amen, I did, and I hope you did. If you didn't, you ought to keep your mouth shut. Amen. That's the way I see it. If you didn't vote and have a hand in the cookie jar, bless God, don't pull a cookie out. But all of a sudden, they know that God put him in by sitting there looking at it with their own human eyes. And then they're going to hate the man. Can you figure that out? There's haters all over this world that hate that man. And all I've seen is him do good for the country. That's all I've seen. So I say to you tonight, you better pray for your president. That's biblical. You like him or not, don't matter. Bible says pray for your government. Now, not only you got to give love to get love, but you know I had to hit this one. You got to give money to get money. Huh? Bible says that in the Old Testament, it says that we're supposed to put our tithes and offerings in the storehouse. Is that not right? I've explained to y'all what the storehouse is on many occasions, but some of you are new, and I'm going to give it to you one more time. What the storehouse was in the Old Testament was an underground cellar they had dug out way up under the ground where it stayed cool. The sun and the heat didn't get down to it. Heat rises, not goes down. Amen. So they dug down an underground cellar. And when they went in the fields and they gathered their crops, whether it was wheat, corn, barley, whatever it was, if they killed a cow or a goat or a lamb or a sheep, whatever they killed, if they had more than they had room for, they would take 10% of it or a percentage of it and put down into that storehouse underground. Now, what that storehouse was for those that was in need, they could go down in the storehouse and get a meal or whatever they needed to make a cake of cornbread or you know, whatever. That was there for the taking. But then on the other hand, the next season, for those that gave to the storehouse, God tremendously blessed them with even more crop the next year. It's the same with tithing and giving. If you give, the Bible says give and it shall be what? Given unto you, right? It'll be given back to you so much that you'll have to press it down. And then your cup will be running over. Is that not what the Bible says? I say to you today, it's best that you pay your tithes. Because what you have in your possession, God can take it away from you. Last of all, Jesus will not draw nigh unto you until you draw nigh unto Him. James chapter 4 and verse 8. See where I got that one from, don't you? Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Folks, God is saying in here that if you ever going to get close to Him, you're going to have to quit straddling the fence. You know, anything that's lukewarm, I can't stand drinking warm water, can you? I mean, even when I'm about to perish, hot sweating, hot water is no good to me. Cold water's the best. But I thought about, you know, when God said in Revelation that the church had got lukewarm, what did He say He done? Wonder why it made Him sick to His stomach. That's why it ain't no good to drink warm water or warm milk for that matter unless it's in oyster stew. Amen. That's good stuff there. Yeah. Throw some crackers up in there, some saltines, zesty saltines, and crush them up in there. And, oh, man, you get a prize about every other spoonful. Get a big old oyster in there. Boy, that's good. Man, that's good eating. But it's time for us to draw nigh to God. The only way we're going to draw nigh to God is quit being cold and lukewarm. We've got to get on fire for God and quit being double-minded, the Bible says. It says, cleanse ye your hands, you sinners. Quit being double-minded. If you say you love God, bless God, love Him. Amen. If you say you love your brother, love your brother. If you say you love your church, love your church. Don't be straddling the fence. A lot of times we come in church. Well, I know every time I get up here, y'all don't know what to expect out of me, but that's all right. I'm going to give you the truth one way or another. Amen. But if we would all get on the single mind state of loving God, cherishing God, He didn't have to die for us, church. But He did. I had a debt that there's no way I could pay for my sins. Neither could you. I don't care how big your bank account is or how small your bank account is. You couldn't have paid for your sin. He paid a debt for me that He didn't even owe a dime on. He paid it in full. The Bible says because of the shedding of blood, we have remissions of sin. Why don't we start loving God? Why don't we start cherishing God? Jesus will not draw nigh unto us until we draw nigh unto Him. Jesus will not give unto you until you give unto Him. Jesus will not confess you before His Father until we confess Him before men. God will not forgive us until we forgive others. Very simple. Some things that Jesus will not do until we do. All hearts clear. Anybody got a word tonight? Realize that we are in every one of the verses we read tonight. Not just the preacher, not just the deacons, but every last one of us. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.